Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, saints of his kingdom that's not of this world, and priests who honor his name by your lives, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On this last Sunday of serving you as a called servant of the Word, it is fitting, right, and salutary to turn to the Word, to look forward for every changing moment in life. Where do we go? In good times and bad times. To Jesus, to his Word. So today we consider what comes this Thursday, as told you earlier, in the church's celebration with the ascension of Jesus Christ. It was a bittersweet kind of moment, but it was not as if the disciples were unaware of what was to happen. Right on the day of his resurrection, Jesus told Mary Magdalene, do you remember? Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Yet I am sure those 40 days with the risen Jesus Christ flew by, and the disciples knew it had. Things were going to change. Just as Solomon reminds us in the book of Ecclesiastes, here's old King Solomon and all the years of his life and all the things that he indeed expanded and helped Israel to do. And here's what he says at the end of his life. For everything there's a season and a time for every matter under the sun. Which is exactly what Jesus reminded the disciples when they asked at his ascension about the future glory of restoring Israel. He told them, it's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. This is why farmers aren't even out in the field yet planting. It's not for you to know the times or seasons of anything. Because it's fixed by the authority of God. But thanks be to God, that authority is fixed for us in the face of Jesus Christ. Yes, times bring change, but never without a greater joy to celebrate. The ascension of Jesus promises at all times he reigns to make us bold witnesses of him throughout all our days. And so you remember, if we want to ever get back to the heart of the whole thing, you remember the first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. And it's the shortest explanation of the catechism. It basically says, whatever you fear, love, and trust, this is your God. And so, a time of fear over the past is to be put to rest by Jesus. You see, the book of Acts uncovers the story of the church. We love our stories. I know some of your stories as you know some of mine. But I don't know all your stories. You know, you don't know all my stories either. You can spend a whole lifetime knowing someone, even a husband and a wife, and you'll never know all that you can know about a person. The book of Acts is a small piece of the story of the church. And much of that focus is on just two apostles, Peter and Paul. There's a great deal of triumphs that are seen there, like you'll know in a couple weeks with Pentecost coming and Peter preaching the first sermon and 3,000 people confessing Jesus and being baptized. Paul goes to the Gentiles and all these people who wouldn't even get the time of day to the Jews would hear about Jesus. They would receive him. We also find in the book of Acts hardships and struggles. This is why you know it's a real story. There's good things and there's what? Bad things. If it's all good, you're working with someone who's a liar. And if it's all bad, you're working with someone that sees nothing that's good in life. You got to have both, right? And so there's hardships. There's persecution, the stoning of Stephen. There's hardships because the apostles, the pastors at that time said, we don't have enough hands to help to acts of mercy. We need deacons. We need people willing to help and serve. And they chose seven deacons. to help serve in the church, who gladly did it. We also know much false preaching about the gospel had to be spoken against as well. For all the works done by the church, consider how the book of Acts begins. Acts chapter 1 begins not with the church, but with who? Jesus and his ascension. He is the head and the Lord of his church. Pastors are only a part of the church's story in any given place or time. The focus was never on the minister, but only servants of the ministry of the word. Whether good or bad, at all times, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest." And boy, you need some rest around here because you're hard workers. But we need to rest. And resting in Jesus is a lot more than for the body. It's for the soul to know forgiveness and peace. The church is not our pet project or our own personal glory. There was a pastor before me, several in both churches, and there'll be pastors after me. But about in the end, it's always about living in that promise of God who saves only sinners. Christ lifted up at the ascension shows he is God, but also, and most importantly, how this man, this Jesus, does not change. So there is nothing to fear but to trust him, to fear him. And we also have a time of love at the present, joined together in that Jesus who doesn't change, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the kind of love we get to celebrate in community. The disciples were brought together by that kind of love of God. I came as a pastor not because I found Sioux Valley in some kind of visitor's guide or Lake Park. I was sent here, called to serve. And it was love, not by me or by you, but the love of God through Jesus who brought us together. You see, when the disciples gazed at the ascending Lord, when they saw him rising up, even in his glory, his wounds were still a visible witness of love, wasn't it? He didn't take the wounds away. He kept them there for a purpose, to kind of keep it earthy, to kind of remind them what it's all about. The blessing poured out from the cross was the one and only sacrifice the Father gave in his Son. This relationship as Savior is what defined all other relationships, as St. John pointed out, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. That's for each other. That's the kind of love that you can't get merely from family and friends and community. It's only a love that comes from who? Jesus. You got to remember, this was not a people, these disciples, who liked each other, who knew each other. They were fishermen and rich people, people that were dirty scoundrels and people who were pride fools. And they all were forgiven by Jesus, and they all found a way to forgive each other and love one another through Jesus, who loved them. No love was lost at the ascension of Jesus Christ. Not a single bit of love was gone. Because the angels preached a great message. They said, "This Jesus who you saw taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw go into heaven." So what we have is this great joyous thing, is that the love of Jesus is going to come the same way as it went, and it still brings to us that good news. Pastors receive the honor to dwell in community with the baptized saints of Christ. St. Paul prayed for his congregation in Ephesus. He bore many crosses with the Ephesian Christians. And yet, when he was away, he told them that he prayed for them so that they may know what is the hope to which he has called you, God, What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe? I'll pray for you. Matter of fact, this past week, amidst of all the packing and moving, the excitement, all the craziness you can't imagine, at least I haven't imagined in 14 years, all of it, though, I went through both directors of the church and prayed for every single family. Some I don't even know still, because I never even seen them darken the door of the church in 14 years. Doesn't matter. I'll still pray for them. We can pray for all people. I'll pray for the people in the church directory, right? And I'll pray for you still, as you pray for me. Relationships are important to life, aren't they? Because no other God relates to us other than Jesus Christ and him crucified. There's no other God. All this debates about religion and being universal today is all foolishness. Because there's only one God who really relates to us in the most sincere and loving way. Because he laid down his life for us. He knows us. He knows the goods and joys of life, but he knows the hardships and the bitterness and the reality of sin and death and the devil. But he relates to us because he puts it all on his back, doesn't he? Churches call pastors to preach, teach, and administer the sacraments, which means to dwell in the truth of that love of Jesus and nothing else. Since the word and sacrament is the love of Jesus serving us by his ministry, there's always room to grow in relationship to each other. I pray that for you, as Trinity and Concordia in a dual parish situation, that you grow in that love because Jesus is working among you with his love. We grew in love together, but it wasn't because of merely the work we did, because of the one who works for us all good, who knows and relates to us in every way because he comes to save and defend us from our weaknesses. And finally, a time of trust is for the future, and it belongs to Jesus, doesn't it? The disciples returned to Jerusalem, no longer concerned about the times and seasons. When Jesus was lifted up into the heavens, the text tells us he was blessing them. This blessing meant they were under God's care and eternal glory and victory and could wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. They worshiped Jesus because he was not leaving them as orphans, only providing a new way of faith to see him present by word and sacrament. They had to change their perspective. Jesus' promises were going to be very powerful. There was great joy for the future. It was not about the temple, the building. It wasn't even about the people of Israel, was it? Their glory would be destroyed by the Roman Empire, 70 AD. No, their great joy for the future was God's faithfulness in his church as a witness. This has been a witness in your two churches of the faithfulness of Jesus Christ and him alone. This is a witness to the whole communities, so that we might stand upon Jesus and no other foundation, and know that God does care for small town, rural people. Departing ways is never easy, but it was always about pastor and people before Jesus. Serving two churches was to witness the greater blessing of God at work, and both by his grace that would not fail either churches. God is good, but more than good, God is gracious. Remember what the word grace means: giving you more than what you deserve. That's grace. Trinity and Concordia are bound in teaching and life to that same gracious Lord that continues richly to bless his baptized people. Jesus does this for all times places, and peoples, since the Father put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body. If there is anything today, it must be great joy. For the final sermon is not the end of God, for this final sermon is not the end of God's faithfulness. Only a witness, only one word to his church. And you are far more glorious to God than you could ever imagine. Because the word comes to you always and only from Jesus. The ascension of Jesus promises at all times he reigns to make us bold witnesses of him throughout all our days. And one day, this pastor who is now 40, who came here when he was 26 or 27, is going to be old, as we all grow in life. But it's going to be the same word that keeps us safe and guides our lives so that we have a far better glory that we share by faith in Jesus. To unravel the book of Acts, you need to go to the beginning, because there is the ascended Jesus. He's at the right hand of the Father, holding all power against sin, death, and the devil, so there's nothing to fear. He has entered into glory as the ascended Lord, so life abounds from him that does not change, and yet everything is changing. But don't go away today thinking about a funeral. That's the wrong perception. That would be sinful. To unravel what God has done over these years is to witness what Christ never gives up doing. As we begin in the gospel, Christ giving his blessing. And this will never change. And you'll hear it today at the benediction. And you'll hear that blessing again and again from pastors, knowing that Jesus relates to his people by his perfect sacrifice and the promise that will not be put to shame. Amen. Now the peace of Christ that passes all understanding be with your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.